Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn to Genesis chapter 13. A unique story here, but rather familiar to you, I'm sure. And, just a ton of applications and things you can pull out of this passage of Scripture. We're going to focus on one of those things, and it has to do with a characteristic in our lives as believers. And so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we're going to read just verses 1 through 9 here in chapter 13 of the book of Genesis. And I'll read, just follow along in your Bibles as I read tonight in Genesis chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren, we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. The characteristic that I'm going to speak to you tonight is that of being deferent. Deferent, not different. Deferent, all right? Deferring to others, all right? You say, well, what does that mean? That means setting aside my preferences and putting others' preferences in front of mine. Giving place to someone else over myself, okay? And in order to be deferent, that means we have to defer. Okay, that's obvious, all right? Everybody understands that. And I know you're not supposed to use a word in the definition of the word. But when we defer to others, how does that make them feel? Special, right? Preferred, right? And it kind of puts us on a playing field, if you will, that we can maybe reach them for the cause of Christ, yes? And how did Christ go about his earthly ministry? Was he somewhat confrontational? Yes. Okay. But in areas of preference, did he oftentimes give an example of deferring to others? Yes, he did. Okay. And so we've got to learn this in our lives to be like Christ. So here we have Abram. And you may know Abram. You may know Abraham. He's not yet Abraham. Okay. Because he has not yet fully followed the commandment of God. God told him to leave his house, right, his land, and his kindred. He still had Lot tagging along at this point in time. So he hadn't fully followed that commandment, so he was not yet Abraham yet. He was still Abram. And so we have Abram here, and we see Abram was very rich. I mean, that's good, right? Nothing wrong with that. And cattle and silver and gold and all these things. And his nephew Lot also had flocks and herds and tents and herdsmen. We understand that. And but something happened in verse 7 that there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. There was a problem. Too many sheep, not enough grass. Okay? That's a problem. Okay, there was some strife there. Or perhaps Abram's cattle were getting into Lot's cattle, and Lot's cattle were getting into Abram's cattle, and they were crossing this boundary and not staying in this place, and these guys were taking these cattle this way and that way, and there was just problems, strife. So Abram said, "Hey, we don't need to have strife between us. We're family." He said, "The whole land is before us. We have all this space, and Lot, you're a grown man. You have cattle, you have tents, you have herdsmen, you have servants, you have all this stuff. You don't need Uncle Abraham around all the time. Let's just go ahead and separate." And see, what made Abraham deferent here is he didn't say to Lot, "I am the uncle. I am the wealthier. I have taught you everything. So I will choose my spot and you travel 100 miles south of me." Okay? He could have done that, right? I mean, probably not a problem. Lot would have said, "Okay, fine." But you know what? Abraham deferred to Lot. He said, "Lot, you pick." He said, "If you go to the right hand, I'll go to the left. And if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. And no problem. Wherever you go, I'll go a different direction. Because I am going to let you choose. I'm going to let you have your preference." Now, unfortunately, Lot was a little bit greedy and took him in the wrong direction. Abraham was left with the inheritance that God had intended for him all along. Now, listen. God wants us to be deferent. You mean I should be a compromiser? No. No, I didn't say that. I said in preferences. In preferences. Okay, not in doctrine. And not in convictions, but rather preferences. You know, there's a lot of things that I prefer over other things. Just like you do, right? Okay? I prefer Fords over Chevys and any other vehicle, okay, for that matter. That's just my preference, all right? But we're not going to have a church split over that, right? And I'm not going to tell you that in order to be a member here, everybody has to drive a Ford, okay? That'd be silly, all right? It's just a preference. And somebody told me once, they said, "Brother Combs, what if somebody out of the goodness of their heart gave you a Chevy?" I said, "Out of the goodness of my heart, I'd take it down to the dealership and trade it in for a Ford." But I probably would. I don't know if I'd do that. That might offend someone. But, you know, that's a preference, right? Some people, they like this type of drink or that type of drink or this type of food or that type of food. Those are preferences. You understand that there are so many preferences, and a lot of times Baptists get in trouble and they start teaching preferences as doctrines. And they start chewing up people over preferences and spitting them out over preferences and offending people over preferences and turning people away over preferences, when that shouldn't be the case. There's a passage in the scripture of the disciples, remember, coming to Jesus? And they say, "Oh, these other guys over here, they're doing this and doing that." And Jesus said, "Leave them alone. Leave them alone." And we've got to understand that unless it's an error of doctrine or such and so forth, we need to be careful how we treat people. And we need to be wise in how we treat people. Now, if the doctrine is not according to God's word, guess what? I'm not the bad guy. The Bible's the bad guy. Because the Bible says, don't do this. So that's why I don't do this. It's not a preference. It's a command of God. I'm just going to obey. And that's different. That's not the same. That's not deferent. It's different. And so we need to learn to be deferent. As we give up of our preferences to the preferences of others. Okay? What does this do to help us? Okay? What did it do to help Abraham? They maintained a family relationship, right? He and Lot. Now, it caused these two not to have strife anymore amongst their herdsmen, right? It was a good thing. And guess what? Lot could never say, "Uncle Abraham did me wrong in this circumstance. Why? Because Abraham let Lot choose. So if it didn't work out in the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, then that was Lot's own choosing. Abraham didn't influence him at all in that. And listen, so we have an opportunity to reach people for Christ because we simply defer our preferences to others. You know what? In John chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." The attitude of Jesus Christ was one of being deferent. Remember when they came to collect the taxes, right? He sent them down to there. He said, "Oh, go find this fish and open his mouth and get the money out there." And, right? Because it's Caesar's. Give it to him. You know, why am I going to fight this? We got to pick the battles we're going to fight. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul deals a lot with this attitude in a very carnal church. You understand that you ought not probably get most of your Bible doctrine out of 1 Corinthians. Okay? Of how you're going to run the church. All right? It's a letter of correction, a letter of rebuke. And he's trying to set some things straight here for the Corinthians in this church. And one of them has to do with this topic. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. Hey, did you know that in Jesus Christ we have liberty? We do. We have liberty. And that's a joy for us to have. Now, that liberty is not to be trodden underfoot or abused. You know, Paul said, "Hey, should I sin that grace should abound?" He said, "God forbid." No, that's not what the liberty is for, but we do have the liberty in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, look what he says here in verse 19. He says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." You see here, it says, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." You understand that we've got to make sure that we are doing all things that we might by all means save some. You know, there are different people in different walks of life, different circumstances of life, that don't understand a high and mighty attitude. They don't understand that when you got your nose stuck up in the air so high because you're a religious Pharisee that you can't even take the time to defer to someone else to reach them for Christ. You know, what good does that do? I mean, how many people did the Pharisees reach? Not very many. And the Sadducees? Not really. And but how did Christ do? He did pretty well. How did the first century church do? They did pretty well. How did the apostle Paul do? He did exceedingly well. Why? Because of this that he told them. That, hey, I need to know exactly what I'm doing so I can reach some where they are. You know, and listen, he never said that he went into sin to reach people for Christ. You don't have to go against your principles and your convictions, and certainly against what God says. But where you can and when you can be deferent in some preferences to reach others. You can. For the gospel's sake, he said, "This I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." Now go to Colossians chapter 10, right next door there. Next chapter in verses 23 through 33. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not to thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many. Why? Why go through all of this? That they may be saved. Saved. You see, he's talking about, you can go back and read verse chapter 10 and talking about the different things about things offered to idols and sacrifices and all these things. You understand that through Christ we do have liberty. But that liberty is not to be abused, but it rather is to be used so that we might see people saved. God wants us to be an example to others. And listen, he goes through this part here and says, you know, if he says it's offered unto idols, you know, it says, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, because you can make a point there and show him why it's important to this. But if he doesn't offer and he doesn't ask you, don't ask, just eat it. You know, those types of things. Because a deferent spirit, a deferent attitude is one that is tuned to reaching people for the cause of Christ. We want to reach them for the Lord's work, that they may be saved. In 1 Corinthians 7:16, it says this whole chapter talks about marital relationships. And you can go back and read, but listen to what it says in verse 16. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? You know, there are circumstances where maybe a husband and wife are together, and maybe the husband is saved, but the wife is not. Or the wife is saved, but the husband is not. He says, if they're content to dwell with you, then let them dwell with you, that you might have an opportunity to reach them for Christ. And listen, that may not be the best circumstance all the time. But God says it can be used, and it could be of a blessing to see one or the other be saved. You see, folks, when we are deferent, we can see other people come to Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. We have an opportunity as saved people to see our lost bosses saved, because we can have a deferent spirit in preferences and unto them, so that they can see Christ in us. And God wants us to live a life so that we can see other people saved. And if that means I have to give up some preferences, then that's okay. Now again, I'm going to take a stand on doctrine. I'm not going to go out and sin so that somebody else can be saved. That's not what God is talking about. He says that these are things that we can do so that others can be saved. Look at Luke chapter 19, a great example of this. And the Pharisees actually had a problem with this. In Luke chapter 19, I actually preached a message about this story several months ago. But this is the story of Zacchaeus, right? You know, he was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he, right? And we understand that. That's not necessarily scripture, but he was small. So we see here in Luke chapter 19, and look at verse 5. It says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Careful now. "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner." How dare he do that? He is a rabbi. He is a teacher. He is a master. And he's going to eat with a publican, a sinner, a tax collector, a religious leader cannot do that. Why? Why not? Was Jesus doing anything sinful by going to a sinner's house? No. Now, was that maybe not the preference that religious leaders practiced? Maybe not. Why did Jesus do it? In verse 9, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You know, as the disciples were going about through the earthly ministry of Christ, and they were doing this and doing that, they often ruffled the feathers of the Pharisees. Oh, they're doing this on the Sabbath day. Oh, they didn't wash their hands. Oh, you healed this person. Oh, you did that. Oh, you did. Wait a minute. Were any of those things sinful things? No. But were some of those things against the preferences of the time? Yeah. But why did they do those things? So that people would be saved. You see, we have some things in our lives that we get a little stuck on, and it keeps us from seeing people saved. You know what you need to do? Get unstuck. Okay? We have enough to deal with by standing on some things that we ought to stand on. That causes enough difficulty in reaching people. We don't need to also be stuck on preferences that keep people from being saved. We need to learn to be different. Go to Romans chapter 14. We need to be different so that others may grow. You know that sometimes being stuck on a preference keeps people from growing in grace. It does. It can keep people from growing in grace. Look at Romans chapter 14. Look at verse 1. Now, I don't have time to read this whole chapter here, so we're going to skip around just a little bit of Romans chapter 14. But in verse 1, it says, "Let him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful dispensations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, and that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. You understand, he goes on, there's much more good stuff. I could read the whole chapter there for you. But for sake of time, you understand, it's not you that gets to decide whether or not other Christians are doing what they should do or not do. Yeah. I mean, who died and made you God? I mean, he said there, are you supposed to judge another man's servant? The brother or sister in Christ that's in church with you, they're fellow servants. You're not their master. And they're not your master. God is. And if somebody wants to be a vegetarian, that's fine. Can I tell you something? That's not my preference. It's not. I'm an animal lover. I love them grilled, fried, broiled, baked, smoked, boiled, cooked. Whatever. It's fine with me. But for some, that may not be the case. And who are they to tell me that I'm wrong? And who am I to tell them that they're wrong? Yeah. We're talking about preferences. You know, sometimes churches get really petty. They can. Oh, yeah. Brothers and sisters can get really petty. I'm looking at 11 brothers and sisters down here. Well, actually, more than that. There's a couple other families over here, too. Yeah, they do. And they start nipping back and forth about preferences. Yeah. And it causes strife and discontentment in the family. Hey, are we a family? We're a family. You know, preferences ought not to rule in our church. Shouldn't. What you decide to drive, what you're driving on the parking lot, is none of my business. If you want to drive a Chevy, that's fine. You're wrong, but that's fine. No, listen, we could joke about it. But listen, you know, but, man, we ought not, oh, what? You see what they eat, what they don't eat? Oh, they don't eat vegetables. That's not godly. They don't eat meat. That's not godly. I mean, what is that? No, I mean, come on. Oh, you know, they never take a shower. That's a preference. I mean, I'm for hygiene, okay? And if Gene was here, I'd say hi to him. But you understand, but you understand the pettiness that can happen? And guess what? The church in Corinth was extremely petty. They had a lot of problems. And he's encouraging here in the book of Romans, similar things. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, just another comment about this thing of keeping believers from growing because of not being deferent. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 7. It says, "Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. And their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours," here it is, "become a stumbling block to them that are weak." That's the thing right there. You see, we need to be building up one another in Christ. We're supposed to be iron that sharpeneth iron. That's how it's supposed to be in the church. So we've got to understand that these things are very important. He says, "For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat at the idol's table, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And though thy knowledge shall, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth. lest I make my brother to offend. That's deference, folks. That's deferring to others so that they can grow. And then lastly, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Not only being deferent so others can be saved, and being deferent so that others may grow, but being deferent so that others may serve. Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 1. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now listen, doesn't God want the church to become what it's supposed to be? Yes, and how dare we stand in the way of such? We ought not stand in the way of the service of the church. You know what? If we in our lives, put our preferences first, put our desires first, instead of others, it's going to get in the way of the church going forward for Christ. It's going to get in the way. Because we'll be accomplishing what we want to accomplish, not what he wants to accomplish. We've got to remember that we can be deferent. Now, again, without sin, without falling into sin, without going against Bible doctrine or Bible truths or Bible principles. Those things don't move because God doesn't move. But our preferences can be set aside. Others can be put first for the cause of Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verses 5 through 11, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. And listen to this. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Because that's who we are here to serve. In Galatians 5, verses 13 through 18, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Isn't it amazing? We can do that. And listen, our liberty is not one for the occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Colossians 3, I'll leave you with this tonight. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Yeah. You know, folks, sometimes, and again, this is not necessarily a message of rebuke or saying to someone that you're wrong, but rather one of preventative. I think this church does a great job of deferring to others. And we just need to practice this characteristic in our daily life. And listen, like Paul said, "Hey, I became all things to all men that I might save some." We've got to understand that there are weaker brothers and sisters in Christ. And we've got to defer to them. And we've got to help them to grow in Christ. And then as a church, someone may want to do something this way. And someone may want to do something this way. And we can have a tug of war back and forth that tears the church apart. Or we can just defer one to the other and serve Christ. You see, it's a Christian characteristic. And it's sometimes lost among the Baptist brethren. And we need to regain this purpose to learn to be deferent.